From the Figure Four Online Studios in beautiful Bothell, Washington, exclusively at WrestlingObserver.com, you're listening to The Brian and Vinny Show with your hosts, Brian Alvarez and Big Vinny V.
Brian and Vinny, along with Granny and Craig and sometimes other people. They're paid by a con, and they'll say,
everybody, it is the Brian and Vinny Show, September 18, 2025, figure4online.com/WrestlingObserver.com, and we're free tonight! That's right, a free show talking AW Dynamite and NXT. AW Dynamite, a go-home show for the pay-per-view this weekend, All Out. NXT is a show. They were both special shows, and we got a lot to get into here today, but first off, I got a couple of things to say very quickly. Number one, I have made a command decision. Since I am the commander of this ship, and I do listen to everybody's feedback, and as much as I enjoy Mid-South Wrestling, it does seem that it might be getting a little long in the tooth. And if you recall, a couple of years ago maybe, we started watching those TNA Asylum pay-per-views. Mm-hmm. Remember that?
Yeah.
Horrible.
Unwatchable.
Absolutely atrocious.
Literally cannot be watched.
They were hideous.
Yeah.
They were so bad that we quit. Mm-hmm. I just couldn't take it anymore. Well, we had been watching Mid-South for a while, and my palate is somewhat cleansed. Somewhat. We will not be going back to the asylum, everyone. But I happen to be looking at the calendar, and I noticed that it is September 18, 2025. And in 2 weeks, on October 1st, 2025, it will be the 20-year anniversary of TNA going to Spike TV. The Spike TV era began for TNA on October 1, 2005. So, in just a couple of weeks, we are going to begin 20 years ago on TNA Impact. It is much better than the Asylum days. I have been told by many people that it was one of their favorite shows when they were younger. There were a few years that were pretty good. I mean, we have Samoa Joe and Kurt Angle coming in, and AJ Styles and Chris Daniels and the X Division. Yeah, not really. I think it's 2006.
Dude, wasn't he? Wait.
Pretty sure it was 2006.
Now I'm gonna look it up.
Yeah, but anyway, we're gonna give it a shot because it'll be very much, but very different. It'll be similar to when we did the Monday Night Wars, because instead of having to give you and say, "Hey, Vinny, what episode?" blah 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 blah. It's 20 years ago on TNA Impact. And the other reason for this is because, I don't know if you guys are noticing, I guess it was 2007. Well, in 2 years we'll get there.
October 19, 2006.
Yep. Oh, look at that. Yeah, we only have to wait a year. Yeah. But the point is, they're only 1 hour, and they're significantly better than the shows in the Asylum, or whatever that, what was it?
A tent?
It was like the fair. It was like the county fair.
It was the fairgrounds.
Yeah, this is at least a professional-looking one-hour television show with a lot of stars that were either big stars or would go on to become big stars. And I think we can go a while with this one. So that's going to be kicking off on Tuesdays in 2 weeks on the Brian and Vinny Show, 20 years ago on TNA Impact. And it's interesting because TNA is TNA again because of nostalgia for this era of TNA wrestling. So we're going to go find out if it's all it's cracked up to be. That's starting in 2 weeks. I got another project, but I'm not going to mention it right now, but you'll hear about it soon enough. Another fun project for those of you that are fans of this website.
If I guess, will you tell me?
Nope.
Is it OnlyFans?
Nope. Oh. It's not a bad idea. I got a subscriber X. Anyway, we're going to get going on this show, everybody. So let's begin, as always, with the Dynamite Report.
We watched AEW Dynamite September to Remember, September 17th, 2025, a special three-hour edition of the show, which in hindsight I can safely say was a mistake. Because, man,
it wasn't bad until they got
the first 2 hours were very good television.
Yeah.
And that last hour was like maybe the worst 60 minutes they've done all year.
What?
I
didn't think it was that bad at all.
Really didn't like that last hour.
I did think it was too long. I didn't think it was a bad third hour.
Yeah.
But I will say it is funny that they called it September to Remember, but it wasn't one show.
Technically, it was two shows.
It was Dynamite, mm-hmm. followed by Collision, which that's fine. You've got contractual reasons or whatever. You have to have X number of collisions every year. But he actually, every time he does a three-hour block, he actually books it like a Dynamite show followed by a Collision. The third hour is always like at 50% quality from Dynamite. It's always got just some rando main event. I mean, he literally books Collision, the branded Collision show, like a Collision, instead of like a three-hour great Dynamite. And he did it again here, so that was kind of weird. But the first 2 hours were quite great.
So we're in London, Canada, Ontario, Canada, apparently. The Canada Life place. Tony Schiavone's in the ring for a contract signing between Heyman Page and Kyle Fletcher. And he wants to sign right away, but of course Don Callis has something to say. He remembers when Hangman took that belt from him, beating his weak friend, Kenny Omega. That will happen again because Fletcher is bigger, better, faster than Omega or Hangman. So Hangman says he and everyone else is tired of half the roster getting involved in championship matches. True. He also...
Too bad, brother.
He also... Well, it's not too bad. He got his way here. He also wants Kyle to do it on his own, so should he do it on his own so he can prove his potential. So he reveals there is a clause in the contract stating that if Don Callis or anyone else interferes, not only will Kyle Fletcher be disqualified in this match, he'll be stripped of the TNT title as well. This is news to Don because he's a bozo. He didn't read the contract. He protests, but Fletcher calms him down. He's not afraid of any of this. He's the best wrestler ever in AEW. And I think at that point, I actually heard a CM Punk chant, which is odd. He says, I'm better than you ever were. I'm better than you right now. He quickly signs the contract. Now Hangman's hesitating. He starts to go off on a rant about how Kyle may be ready for the match. He's not ready for the next day. The defeat, how he'll cope with that. There's a great camera angle with the title belt in the foreground and Hangman in the background with his raging face. He asks Kyle not to disappoint him. Not at all out, not in the years to follow. He finally signs. Schiavone tries to wrap it up, but Fletcher has one more thing to say. He's a man of his word. There will be no interference. There was no violence in this contract signing, and there will be no interference in the all-out match. But by the end of the night, he will leave Hangman beaten, bloodied, and unable to walk. That's the end of that.
You know, I don't know if this is going to happen or not, but, you know, these baby faces, like Hangman was kind of smart, you know, because he put this in the contract. But he was only half smart because the contract stipulates that no one from the Don Callis family can interfere. So, John Moxley could apparently interfere in this match.
He does
and
love...
Kyle will not be stripped of his title or DQ'd. So, I don't know if it means that somebody else is going to interfere and we'll have, you know, something leading to something else. But it was notable that he very specifically said, nobody from the Don Callis family can interfere in the match. And I did like how last week it made absolutely no sense on the show when they announced the stipulation, and then later in the show, they literally did the stipulation with two other guys, and they blatantly just broke the stipulation. So they actually opened with the announcers addressing that fact. Last week, someone else claimed no one would run in. They did anyway. Can we trust Kyle Fletcher? And then they ended up having the Hangman announce that it's actually in the contract.
Yes.
So no gentleman's agreement here. Nobody from the Don Callis family can interfere. I thought it was a good segment.
I thought both guys, well, all three guys were very good. It does beg the question, why don't you make that stipulation for all matches then?
Because Tony Khan's character is a maniac,
yeah,
and he wants some help booking.
I guess.
You got to bring some excitement to the show.
I guess. The John Moxley Darby Allin Coffin match is also on Saturday, so we get Excalibur. One of the announcers says, "Let's hear from Darby Allin." And we immediately hear from John Moxley. It was actually both of them as just a video package, and they go back and forth. But a lot of past mutual respect, but then Moxley turned on Danielson, so Darby can't trust Moxley. Moxley says he doesn't trust me, therefore I must destroy him. Okay, great. Awesome.
Blake here says, I don't see why they would have the Death Riders involved. I wasn't saying... I just had to come up with a name of someone not in the...
It could be the Hurt Syndicate.
I could have said Chris Statlander.
Sure.
It doesn't mean that's who I think it's going to be. My point is just, they specifically said nobody from the Don Callis family, which leaves it open to anybody else in the entire company being able to interfere, and there not being consequences.
John Moxley versus Roderick Strong. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Match should rule, and it did. And it was interesting because they still have not acknowledged. They've acknowledged John Moxley is married to Renee. They have not acknowledged that Roderick Strong's married to Marina.
No, this is one of those secrets.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't acknowledge who MJF is married to either, but it's one of those weird things about AEW.
There have been reverse hints.
They do a lot of things in AEW, like when Mariah May showed up, and they just were always talking about Stardom. And they just presumed, you all watch Stardom, you all know what it is, we don't need to have anything, it's just, you know, it's Stardom. Whereas stuff like, you know, this guy's married to Marina? Oh, no, we're not going to talk about that. That's a secret. It's weird.
Yeah. So having a very, very fun match. And Roddy does an Olympic slam, but Moxley hangs on for his bulldog choke. So Roddy escapes this by fighting up to his feet, hitting an Olympic slam again. I'm getting free.
If at first you don't succeed.
Yes, yes. So there is a point early on where Roddy, first of all, makes sure Marina's in the right spot and guides her where to go, directing traffic. So he goes after Moxley outside. She gets in his face. And no one's even doing a wink and a nod. And it's like, wow, she's not afraid of this guy at all. And
Taz who goes, I think she might be infatuated with him.
She might, yes. You never know.
I was laughing because I don't know what he said to her, but she cracked. She was laughing.
Probably pointing
at something.
Out, probably pointing out that she had not been where she was supposed to be, and he had to help her out a little bit. So Kyle O'Reilly gets in Danny Garcia's face, and just out of nowhere, Moxley zooms in and hits a shot to the throat of Roderick Strong. Just a complete dick move. They go back and forth having the super fun match, and Garcia interferes. So O'Reilly goes after him, but Wheeler interferes. There's nobody there to stop him, and Mox gets the paradigm shift and chokes Roddy out. And it was a good match. Finish was never in doubt. Not a ton of heat, although that really was the story of the show.
Well, actually, it was the story of the show because most Moxley matches by the end have a ton of heat.
Yeah.
And this was, like, they would pop for moves, but between moves, they were just sitting there. But it was a good match.
Yes. So Moxley wins, and he sells the chops more after the match than he did during the match. He's clutching his chest. He like, dropped to do some push-ups, which aggravated the chop injuries. And he just walks up to Wheeler and just goes, ah! And he walks up to Marina and grabs his chest and goes, ah! I laughed. A Mark Briscoe MGF hype video. Each guy screwed the other in a championship match. So Max is angry. He let Mark pick the stips. So Mark announces the stips the first time I heard of them. Tables and thumbtacks.
So you missed all of Collision last week?
Apparently I did.
Well, apparently you did. Hmm. What was last week? Was it a pay-per-view? Why did we not watch Collision? I watched Collision.
It was, what the hell was last week? Oh, Worlds Collide.
Oh, yeah, Worlds Collide. Yeah.
So, yeah, tables, and, did they explain what the rules are for tables and thumbtacks? Just there's
that
a lot
was of, a match with tables and thumbtacks.
There's just tables and
thumbtacks. And no contract on the line.
Okay.
They were determined to.
So Max still has that thing?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's annoying. So on Collision, Max storms into TK's office. He wants out of this tables and tacks match. He's not some death match douchebag. Tony won't back down. You violated the rules of the sport.
You violated the rules of AEW and the integrity.
The integrity of AEW.
It's the rules of AEW, the integrity of the sport.
I see.
That's very specific, Vinny.
All right. Well, anyway.
MJF is unhappy that he changed the rules of the contract, which is true, But Tony wasn't having it.
Yeah.
And Max says, you finally put your big boy pants on. It was funny listening to Tony be a tough guy.
Well, it's not the first time he's been an on-screen character, but it's rare.
I mean, he was an on-screen, off-screen character because they made sure he was behind closed doors. That's true. Dr. Claw.
His voice was on screen.
Yeah. He's got a real Dr. Claw voice.
So Max is angry and he promises there's going to be another Briscoe in the dirt and it's going to be on you. That's a harsh words.
He likes that kind of stuff, but I think he thinks that because people don't like it, like it's heat. I don't think it's heat. These are the kind of things that it never gets heat on the character. It always gets heat on the promotion. Like the promotion was fine with having a guy do this line. You know what I'm saying? It comes off like, because the guy's great at getting heat. I don't think he needs to stoop to something like this. Because anybody upset about it, no one's upset at Max. They're upset that AEW is letting this guy do this. So I never like lines like that.
Bobby Lashley versus Toa Leona.
I couldn't believe my eyes.
Bobby Lashley early. Selling?
Well, I couldn't believe my eyes until the finish. And then everything after that, I was like, okay, I got it.
That makes sense, yes. Lashley was very much the crowd favorite. And then it occurred to me.
He's the baby face.
Who are the baby faces? Are there any baby faces?
The Hurt Syndicate are baby faces.
By the end of this, it was very, very, very obvious. So, yes, Lashley did sell for Toa Leona this time, including when Toa had a Samoan drop on the apron that looked incredibly painful with 600-some pounds crashing down on top of you. I would also sell that move. So there. I did laugh. Lashley's making his comeback. He's this big, scary monster who is also a very technically skilled grappler in the art of taking men down. And he grabs this dude and does a flatliner, which does not require great speed, great power, or great technique. Anyone can do that move, but Lashley's doing it. I laughed. So Toa rolls outside, but Lashley gets a mighty spear out there, and the Hurt Syndicate unloads.
God damn, he did that spear and almost DDT'd himself on his own head.
Yeah.
It was worse for him.
And MVP just tears Ricochet apart, and Shelton kicks Bishop Khan, and Toa gets a pounce for a near fall, but Lashley kicks out, gets the full Nelson, and Toa fights for a while, but blacks out, and Bobby Lashley wins.
I could not believe how much he sold for the guy in this match, including that Samoan drop on the apron. That guy hit the apron so hard and bounced down on the ground.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, the guy looks great, but like he's almost 50.
Yeah.
Like he's up there, and that was a hell of a bump. So he sold and sold, and I was like, man, look at this guy. He's selling for Toa Leona. Then he chokes him out, unconscious, and then everyone else gets in the ring, and they beat the shit out of Ricochet's crew.
Yes.
They left them for dead.
Yes.
And when it was over, I was like, is that match off the show? I'm not actually going to pay for that one, right? Apparently I am.
Apparently you are.
I can't imagine anyone wanting to see that match after this destruction. They destroyed those fucking geeks. Just killed them dead.
Copeland and Cage do their face-off with FDR. I was at first annoyed that these men had tried to retire, cripple, perhaps even kill Adam Copeland, and now they're all standing there exchanging words. But they explained this at the beginning, and explained it even better at the end. Tony said there would be heavy, heavy fines for any physicality, and Stokely Hathaway detailed this. It's a $100,000 fine for touching cash. It's a $100,000 fine for touching Dax. And if you lay a finger on Stokely, it's a $500,000 fine, and the pay-per-view match is canceled.
That's almost what he said. I think that he was making up the second part because he claimed it was $100,000 for those two, $500,000 for him, and he said, I will see that the match gets canceled.
Mm.
So I think that he was full of it, which he would have to be because there was physicality and the match wasn't canceled.
Well, they never laid a hand on Stokely, though.
Well, I know, but the point was if you touch any of us...
No, if you lay a hand on Stokely, the match is canceled.
I think that he was full of it. It also makes no sense in storyline. Why would Tony allow that? Tony should love to see this guy get beat up. Stokely Hathaway?
Yes.
He should give people $500,000 to beat him up.
Right. So Stokely buries Copeland's wife and the family and says, you don't want to disappoint them by not having this match. And I insist FTR gets to go first. So Cass explains he met Adam 16 years ago. Copeland's one of the biggest stars in the industry. Cash was an indie geek working at a local gym. Happened to be the one where Copeland walked in one day.
It's all true.
Yeah. And Copeland became his friend, became his mentor, and got him a foot in the door. They kicked that door down, became living legends. And they're the ones who brought Copeland back to the ring after his retirement. They brought him to AEW, but then he made it the Cope Show. The two of you call yourself the best tag team in the world. Your competition in that time was two other mediocre teams who carried you to everything you accomplished.
Wow, what a burial.
Which is kind of a strange thing to say about a competitive. How do you carry someone when they're kicking your ass? Anyway.
I also presume he was talking about like the Hardys.
The Hardys and Dudleys.
Yeah, calling them mediocre teams. I mean, say what you will about Bubba, but I mean, they were a good team.
They had a lot of good
tag. The Hardys were a great team.
Still are.
Yeah.
In a way. So you list all the teams they've had great matches with, going back to Big Bill and Enzo and Gable and Jordan. Finally, Copeland's had enough. He takes over. Says, don't keep my wife's name out of your mouth or she'll slap the lips off your stupid head. Cash, you were homeless living in my apartment. The reason you guys were never in the spotlight is because they, the fans, didn't want you in the spotlight. We are the ones who made tag team wrestling important again. We created a match that turned into a pay-per-view. This match will be in our hometown in front of our people, our country. And he's losing his mind and ranting and raving. And he mentions their team name is Cope and Cage. And Christian, who's been standing there the entire time, silent, grabs the mic, says, Cage and Cope, passes the mic back. Everyone's caught off guard by this, doesn't know how to react, doesn't know how to move on. Eventually they do. A fine moment of comic relief here. And finally, they address the money. And Christian says, this money is a lot. $100,000 is a lot of money. $500,000, that's a lot of money. Stokely, with that kind of money, you might actually get some hoes. But it doesn't mean a damn to me because I'm rich. And he starts throwing hands. And the brawl ensues.
He didn't throw hands, man. He took that microphone and he clobbered Dax.
Is that where Dax got bloody?
Right in the nose. Blubber. I mean, I watched it back and it was just like, bam! And this guy starts, it's just like a fountain of blood out of his nose.
No fun.
And they have this quick brawl and security breaks it up and Christian and Cope are killing security and FTR, like, as they're killing security, FTR doesn't even leave the ring. They just stand there like idiots. And then they get attacked again. And then finally they bail and, you know, Dax, this guy is an old school pro. This guy rolls out of the ring and he claims on Twitter that his nose is broken. And it probably is. I mean, one way or the other, I mean, he is hurting. But man, he knows it looks good. He stands there in the aisle and he's glaring at these guys and blood's just freaking pouring out of this guy's nose. It was awesome. This actually, that was fortuitous blood. It was not on purpose, but it made this whole thing even better.
Yeah.
This was a great segment.
It was all quite great. Yes, yes. Earlier today, Renee is backstage discussing the Young Bucks versus the Bang Bang Gang. They have a tag team match with the winner going to a four-way at the pay-per-view. She spots the Bucks, congratulates them on winning that big bag of cash last week. So they're back in suits. They have paid off production to give them a good entrance, which they got in the end. Matt was a little worried. Nick was going to blow all the money at the casino. But tonight, they're going to beat the Bang Bang Gang, go to All Out, and become the first ever four-time tag team champions. Nick says, Renee, we know you a long time. You're doing a great job. Here's $10,000. Go buy something pretty. Matt's frustrated, gotten to. Nick storms off. This gimmick of Nick blowing through this bag of money in a couple weeks and Matt losing his mind is going to be awesome.
Dude, these Bucks are such creative people. I mean, you watch their matches, and there's so much creativity in the matches. And then you watch BTE through the years, and there's so much comedy, like good comedy and creative ideas. And now they've got this one where they lost their EVP status. So suddenly, somehow, they're poor. But they managed to win $500,000, and it's given to them in a bag. Like they're bandits from the Old West. And Nick, who, by the way, legitimately likes going to the casino, he's already, according to Matt, lost half the money.
Mm.
They're down to $250,000. He's like all over the place just throwing money at people. And Matt realizes this money's going quick. But like Nick thinks he's rich. And so he's just spending. And at the rate this is going, I think they got about 2 weeks left. They're going to be broke again.
Yeah.
And it is incredible. After all this time, finally, somebody won money, and it's part of the storyline. Like all these other people, they're all winning $100,000. You never hear about it again.
Just keep it.
Yeah, Tekla got like $100,000. What'd she do with it? And Queen Aminata, whoever won that last $500,000 match, they all got $100,000. You never hear anything about it. But man, that Nick Jackson win that money, it's right to the casino.
And then right to the arena, because it's the Young Bucks versus the Bang Bang Gang. They get their music, they get their video, they get tons and tons and tons of pyro, money literally going up in smoke. And the Knicks are passing out cash to fans who have pro Young Bucks signs.
Yeah.
That's Matt being more frustrated. And they show video of Nick crashing out in the slots and Matt having a pissy fit, as he should. And then later, Nick just, like, the one of the Bang Bang Gang kicks out, and so Nick tries to bribe the referee.
Yeah. You only live once. Spend that money, brother.
Turns him down.
Can't take it with you.
The cash goes flying everywhere. Juice gets a hot tag. Still waiting for the Juice Robinson of old to resurface, as it was. Austin was great in this match, and the Young Bucks were quite great, and Juice Robinson was a man in there taking up space.
Well, I do have to say that they did that angle on Collision where they decided it's time to get serious. No more ha-ha.
Yeah.
Like, they got rid of the cardboard cutouts or whatever. And now they're just like doing the exact same gimmick, just no cutouts. Which, when you think about it, it's like the cutouts were over. Why did we get rid of them?
I don't know. So, that's my opinion, is that Mr. Robinson here was getting outshined. But it's also part of the story, because over and over again, Austin had to be there to save Juice's bacon. He was beaten, or he was screwed, and Austin flying out of nowhere and saved the day. Over and over and over again, to the point where the announcers were pointing out to us, not just me. So finally, though, Austin can only do so much. They isolate Juice in the ring. They hit him with a Meltzer driver, and they pin him. Nick grabs the bag of money, whatever's left in there. Matt is frantically scrambling around the mat in the ringside area trying to grab the loose cash from the failed bribery attempt.
Holy smokes. This just in from John Alba. Rampage Jackson's son, Raja, arrested and charged with a felony for the attack on Psycho Stu.
Well,
so people have been asking, what's going on? What's going on? What's going on? Well, something finally happened.
Yeah.
Arrested and charged with a felony. There was actually around L.A., like, a lot of skepticism that anything was going to happen because this happened...
A month ago, almost.
Well, no, it happened backstage at a wrestling show.
Was it in the ring at a wrestling show?
I know, but the point is, well, it was in the ring.
Yeah.
The actual attack was in the ring.
I saw the video.
Yeah, but like the whole thing was, you know, we all knew what it was, but if you're looking at
trying
somebody...
Trying to explain someone who doesn't know about wrestling what happened here.
Well, yeah, I mean, the LA, I was kind of told like the LAPD was sort of like, what do we do? Do we do something or not? Because... What if it was all an angle? They didn't want to look stupid. They didn't want to arrest some guy. So this was like 3 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago or whatever. I was told, you know, one of the reasons it's taken so long is they're trying to figure out, like, is this a smart idea or not? What if it is? Like, so anyway, I guess they watched the video enough times or whatever and figured, well, that was legit. So there you go.
Okay. Another hype video for an 8-woman tailgate brawl. It's going to be in the pre-show. The Tornado Tailgate Brawl here. Even this gets a hype video, which is good news. The bad news is these heels were so dull during this promo. And Megan and Penelope are always boring, but Sky and Julia are trying to do the gimmick. I think it's the twins from The Shining, where they both say the same thing at the same time, but it's all monotone and very flat. It just doesn't work. What did work, goddamn, Beast Mortos versus Masqueraderrada. Fuck me, what a match.
This match was so great because it was Lucha.
It was kick-ass Lucha is what it was.
It was all Lucha Libre. And as I have said many times, the great Lucha Libre is the best wrestling in the world. I just love it. Great Lucha Libre, there's nothing better. But as we also learned personally when we went down to Tito Carrione's for those student shows that he did, his Lucha School in Portland or wherever it was, bad Lucha is the worst thing on the face of the planet Earth. And they're having this awesome match. I mean, there's head scissors and dives and multi-revolution.
Backbreakers and crucifix bombs and destroyers.
They're just incredible.
Whatever the hell that flipping pile driver thing Mortos did. It was not a destroyer. It was something else. But God.
All of a sudden, like, Dorada tries some move.
Yes.
And they just fucking botched this up to high heaven.
Yeah.
And they tried to save it. And the more they tried to save it, the worse it got.
Yeah.
So, like, for 10 full seconds, this went from, like, 5-star action to minus 5-star action. All in the same match.
Yes.
And then they managed to get back on track again. And it was only, like, 5 seconds.
Yeah.
But, like, in a 9-minute match or whatever, 5 seconds of awful lucha, you just can't forget it. So, this match was great. It was great. But it was just amazing to watch how bad lucha can get when it goes wrong. It can be real bad.
Yeah, yeah. But again, that was 5 to 10 seconds in an otherwise 10-minute blitz of awesomeness. In the end, Dorada has a twisty, flippy backbreaker thing and a shooting star press. He gets the win because Beast Mortos never wins. And so it is a three-way for the unified title, Masked Dorada versus Konosuke Takeshita versus the champion, Kazuchika Okada. Speaking of whom?
This match, by the way, was so great that, like, early on they bring out Beast, who, like, I love, you know, but he never wins. And then they bring out Masked Dorada, who's had, what, 3 matches ever in AEW? Hasn't been many. And you can just see, like, the crowd, they have no idea who these guys are, or they don't care. And early on, there is not only no heat, but at one point early, they're so quiet that you actually hear one guy go, "Boring!" It's only one guy, but it was quiet enough that you could hear him. And the funny thing is, then you see all these fans like, they look at this guy like, who was that? That man needs to be ejected. But then Dorada starts doing this comeback, and he did like this he did like 7 rotations into this arm drag thing. This fucking place went wild. And from that point on, they realized, whoa. And they were into the match 100% from that point forward. Excellent job.
So Okada comes out to confront Mr. Dorada. But Takeshita also comes out. I should note, Okada comes out. He's the unified champion, which means there's 3 belts involved. He's carrying 1. Don is wearing or carrying 2. Brilliant touch. I'll have to that. Takeshita interrupts this. He gets in Okada's face. Callis is trying to make peace between the two of them. Dorada puts a stop to the whole thing with a giant shooting springboard plancha that wipes out Okada. Takeshita just steps out of the way, and then Takeshita and Dorada have a stare down, and that's that. But this whole thing was quite great. Quite great. Toni Storm comes out for a promo in which she is trying to convince us that she may actually lose her TNT title.
Yeah.
Did
a poor job of that.
Random 4-way. If this is my last title defense, it has been the honor of my life. You'll have to kill me to get this belt off me. And finally, Jamie just walks up. Just walks up and interrupts. Says, you can keep the spotlight, but you'll look different after this. I take your title. I want you to remember, you invited me into this match, and Hater hits hard. Statlander walks out there. I haven't had a title shot in 4 years. Neither of you have the ovaries to face me. You can't stop Stat. So Tony screams to trim your bushes, bitches. Because we're going to go all out. Then Tekla is there. Now Tony has gotten to. And that was when I was made aware for the very first time that even though she's in a 4-way for the title on Saturday, here on Wednesday, she has a no-holds-barred match on the go-home show.
Bro, let me tell you something. In storyline, why would Tony Khan book this match?
I don't know.
Okay. Outside of storyline, in real life, why would Tony Khan book this match? Do you guys realize that there's a lot of reasons that we often don't have a full lineup until like the very last second for Dynamite? But Tony's excuse is always, I'm never quite sure who's going to be ready because there's so many people that are hurt all the time.
Mm.
So you're telling me that you're going to put Tekla and Queen Aminata in a no-holds-barred match 3 days before the pay-per-view? Do you guys remember the first time these guys got in the ring together? Queen Aminata goddamn near killed Tekla. Just beat her. Like, it was brutal, dude. It was brutal. And they got in the ring here, and they're more on the same page now. But man, they beat the hell out of each other in this match. Just pounded on each other. And then we had the most bizarre finish where Aminata just like throws a chair right at her face. Then she hits a fisherman buster onto a chair and just freaking folds Tekla in two. It looked brutal. And then there's like a beat, and all of a sudden Tekla gives her a curb stomp on the chair. She covers her. Aminata is like trying to get a shoulder up, and the ref just counts three anyway. I was like, what the hell just happened right there? Thankfully, it doesn't appear anybody died, but that was ballsy or overeasily to put that on this show 3 days before the pay-per-view.
The third hour started during the middle of this match. And unlike Nitro, they didn't shoot off pyro music and all that. They just continued. But yeah, this is the point where I went from liking this show a lot to not liking it a lot. The match is just two people hitting each other with shit. There's no rhyme or reason to any of it. I will applaud Tekla for coming here in this essentially a street fight, wearing very tight jeans tucked into her white boots. All wrestlers should wear this look. Brian Danielson says this match is, quote, shockingly violent. What were you expecting, dude?
He didn't see their first match, apparently.
All of Queen Aminata's matches are shockingly violent. Now you're giving her chairs. So they just do random shit for a long time. And as I myself am wondering, what is even the point of this match? Danielson says, you know what? Tekla has nothing to gain here. She should just quit. Like, why am I watching it then? There's nothing at stake, nothing to gain, nothing to lose. What's the point of any of this? So the match is not terribly good. The crowd begins to chant, this is awesome, just because there was a double down and that's their cue. And then, yes, Queenie misses a hysterical leg drop off the middle rope. I don't know how to explain it, except she missed a leg drop in the funniest manner possible. Tekla hits this curb stomp, and Tekla makes what appears to be a shoot cover. Like Fabulous Moolah pinning Wendy Richter. And she covers her. She's holding her down. She's got both legs hooked and the head hooked. And Queenie's wriggling. And the ref counts three. Tekla lets go. Aminata immediately rolls over and grabs her face. I don't think she was trying to kick out after watching it two or three times. I think she was just in agony from having her face stomped. So, a complete mess.
Yeah, I don't like this feud. I've had all sorts of people defend it. Well, it's a story. Well, it's because this happened or whatever. At the end of the day, it's a random four-way. And there's 85 women feuding at the same time. It seems completely random which four got picked. Why wasn't it Sky Blue? Why wasn't it Julia Hart? They're also all involved in this. And it just feels like three other women in a match are not going to win. And I don't know. I don't care one bit about this match.
Well, there's more. Tekla calls out Toni Storm, who comes out to brawl with her. Jamie Hayter arrives, but Statlander starts brawling with her, even though they had just been on stage together 10 minutes ago.
Well, you missed the part about after Tekla called out Toni, Toni just came out and beat her ass.
Oh, that too.
It wasn't even really a fight. It was just she called her out and then she came out and beat her up.
That is also true. So now Julia and Sky Blue are in there, and suddenly Wheeler is out there going after Stat, and Marina Shafir is going after Wheeler. It's like they shoehorned every stupid, never-ending, going-nowhere angle in the company into one segment at the exact same time. So Tony's in the ring. Jamie Hayter's behind her. Hayter cocks her fist, but she hesitates, and Tony turns around, and Tony says, like, the exact same thing I was thinking. I didn't write down her exact words, but the message was, it's a four-way! Just hit me, you idiot! So, it's dumb. It's stupid. There's not one element in the build of this four-way that I'm into. A chaotic mess. No good. Alicia then interviews Top Flight. If they win tonight, they're also in this four-way ladder match and all out. They claim that since joining Sky Flight, they have been on a roll. This is news to me.
I'm not sure what a roll means to these guys.
Yeah.
I don't think it means winning.
Hangman interrupts. He warns them. The Don Callis family will interfere in your match tonight. Daniels vows to take care of them tonight. You, Hangman, you take care of Kyle Fletcher at All Out. Killswitch and Kip Sabian versus Jetspeed. I was at All In. London. I thought Killswitch and Kip Sabian broke up in that match.
Well, you know, they did. And even when they announced this match, they weren't getting along. And I couldn't figure out why they were teaming
together.
They're
bickering during the entrance.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know, man. And sure enough, you know, Killswitch walked out on the guy.
Eventually.
And he got double teamed and pinned.
Took a long enough.
This has to be the breakup. If they're together again after this, I mean, come on.
I fully expect them to just walk out together on Dynamite.
I don't know why they were together here.
Shayna interferes, trips Speedball at one point. It's not even the heat. Doesn't matter. So Kip low bridges Speedball. He goes to the floor. Kip then wipes out Speedball with an Arabian press. This pisses off Killswitch for some reason. Why, dude? Your partner did a good thing and helped you beat your opponent. Why are you upset? And by the way, why are you still Killswitch? You turned on Christian Cage.
I called him Luchasaurus throughout this entire review.
Go back to being Luchasaurus.
I don't know what it is.
So they keep doing this match. And by the way, when there's a team that can't get along and they're still beating your ass, you look like a geek. And that's you, Jet Speed. So they're killing these geeks. And Killswitch is a big-ass chokeslam. Sabian demands a tag. You stupid dinosaur! That's what he called him.
Wow.
He slaps himself into the match. He tries a pin with his feet on the ropes, but Killswitch shoves the feet off the ropes. Then Killswitch short-arms him in a tag and walks out. And they double-team Kip and pin him. A stupid, stupid match.
I thought the match was all right, but the booking, I mean...
The wrestling was fine.
I was flabbergasted.
I don't want to... This is not a critique of Kevin Knight or Speedball Bailey or even Luchasaurus or Kip Sabian. The match was just stupid.
Killswitch is clearly going babyface, and BTE has been teasing the return of Jungle Boy. I don't know if they're going to put Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus back together, but they really should. I think it would be the best for both guys. And, I mean, I can't think of anything else. I mean, I think they'd be far better off as a team than whatever's going on right now, which for Killswitch is being a heel teaming with a guy he doesn't like. And actually, it's a babyface teaming with a heel he doesn't like. And Jungle Boy just hasn't been seen in 9 months now. So
yeah. Lost a title, vanished from the face of the earth.
Yeah.
So the four-way is now Brodito defending against the Young Bucks and Jet Speed, and one more team still to be named later in the show. Big Bill promo. He's facing Eddie Kingston at All Out, but he won't believe that until he sees Eddie in the ring on Saturday. If you do show up, I'll expose you as a fraud. And Brian Keith says, fraud! That's that. Brian Danielson interviews Darby Allin earlier today.
It's a good interview.
A very good interview. They talk about, first of all, a great question. Why in the hell did you go climb Mount Everest? And Darby explains how Brian knows this. This wrestling business chews people up, spits them out. They got nothing to show for it. He had to do something to prove to himself, I guess. And he says, there's no way to politic your way to the top of the world. You can't helicopter up there. All you can do is keep climbing. Also, I had to keep my word.
Yes, it was all about giving his word.
I made a word. I would go climb this mountain. I did.
He could have died, he said.
I thought I might die. I saw lots of bodies, and he has a video of himself in a tent weeping because there's death, surrounded by death on this mountain. But he told people he would fly that AEW flag on top of the world, and goddamn it, he did. Then he thought about John Moxley's word. That doesn't mean much at all. Thought about his uncle, who of course was driving drunk and passed out, passed away. In a wreck with Darby in the car.
At age five.
But he loved his family. He would never turn his back on his family. I would never turn my back on Sting. I don't know if I'm ready for this coffin match. But Danielson, I want your word. Do not get involved. I hold myself accountable for what happened at Wrestle Dream. Your career is over. I need you to promise me you won't get involved in this match. So Brian Danielson, who has talked many times about how fun it is to lie, since his word is very important to him, he won't get involved. But you have to promise me one thing. And he whispers something to Darby. And Darby smiles and leaves.
So I don't know what his promise is. But Darby said, give me your word. You won't interfere in my match no matter what. And Brian said, I agree. I mean, the only thing I can figure is that he said, I won't interfere in your match, but if I see Wheeler, I'm taking that guy out.
Mm.
Because they still have to finish off whatever they're doing with Brian and Wheeler.
That's true.
So maybe that's it.
That could be. Riho versus Robin Renegade with Mercedes in commentary. So Mercedes is just out there to call Riho a little girl over and over again. And
pretty much useless on commentary.
A funny thing, and the way timing works out sometimes, for whatever reason, that Kenny Omega match with the young child, which is, 15 years ago now, it was circling on social media today. So somebody retweeted it. Somebody hadn't seen it.
Oh my God. You have nothing better to do.
This happens. The point is, I watched that little girl. She put up a much better fight than Riho did in this match. That little girl would have kicked Riho's ass on this show. Robin Renegade.
All I know is Riho looked way better this week than last week.
Robin Renegade is beating her ass and beating her ass and beating her ass. We go to a break. We come back. Robin Renegade is still beating her ass. I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
It's how they book, dude.
Finally,
crazy.
Last minute, Riho. It's all her. She wins the crucifix bomb. This could have gone much better.
The match wasn't even very long. I think the most notable thing is that Riho last week looked like she should not be in the ring at all. And this week, even though she sold the entire time, as far as like her work went, everything was fine. So last week, I was like, oh my God, this Riho, I mean, this match could be terrible. But after this match, I think Riho and Mercedes are going to have a good, solid match. Although I don't think it needs to go that long, because I don't think anyone's buying that Riho's beating her.
So Robin grabs Riho's boot, and Mercedes attacks from behind and lays Riho out, and that's that.
Which also was weird, because Riho's a weak challenger. She's been gone for a year. She had a bad match, and then a match where she sold the entire time.
Yeah.
She's obviously a weak challenger going in. So why the hell did you have her sell for Robin Renegade the entire match and then have the champion beat her and lay her out?
I do not know.
There's no way she's winning on Saturday.
I do not have a good answer to that question. So they've been doing a lot more video recaps. That's great news. But the video recaps, it's not enough to do them. They have to be good. They did a recap video where the Acclaimed were brawling on Collision.
Oh, my God.
Jerry Lynn tried to reunite them. Two dudes came out to bury Lynn. I don't know who they were. A brawl broke out.
Vinny.
Bowens almost walked out.
I've got to stop you. We haven't had a chance to talk about this.
Okay.
I'm going to try and do it very quickly because you didn't see this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, we begin with a match earlier on in Collision where Takeshita faced Anthony Bowens, okay?
Okay.
Remember how angry you were about the Riho match?
Yeah.
Anthony Bowens, who cannot win a match to save his life, he beat Takeshita, I swear to God, for 95% of this match.
Cool.
Everything Takeshita did, Bowens one-upped him. He beats him, one-ups him. He dominates the entire match. And finally, Takeshita hits a Blue Thunder Bomb and a Raging Fire and wins, okay? I mean, literally, Bowens dominated this match. So then, later on in the show, they have Jerry Lynn doing a promo. Or first, you know, Max Caster comes out for the open challenge. Big Bill accepts and murders him. He's dead. So then out comes Jerry Lynn. And so the story is he goes, Bowens, last week I told you you had to figure out what was missing. But what I should have said is you got to figure out who was missing. He's basically telling them both, and he tells them, you both suck, and you need to reunite as a team.
Right.
Because you suck as singles competitors.
Gotcha.
Now, this would be all fine, but like, if you're going to do that angle, why would you do that on a show where Anthony Bowens beat the fucking shit out of Takeshita for 95% of the match? That guy should have been killed for this to make sense. Instead, it's like we're in two different universes. We're in the universe where Bowens sucks, but then when the match, it's got to be a banger, and so he dominates Takeshita. This makes no fucking sense in context. So anyway, he goes, you both suck. You guys should get back together again. So Caster ends up, you know, getting all angry. He comes through the curtain. He actually bonks into Bowens. They get angry. They start getting in a fight. So they brawl down to the ring. And Max lays him out with a lariat. Jerry Lynn is in the ring yelling at him. And Bowen starts stomping on Max. And Jerry hits the ring and he pulls him off. And Jerry cuts a promo. He goes, what the hell's wrong with you two? And he's giving him this big speech about how you guys were winners when you were the Acclaimed. Now you're losers. You guys need to get back together again. So the two guys, Vinny, are Blake Christian and Lee Johnson.
Okay.
So Blake and Lee come out, and they start making fun of these two guys for being geeks. And so, you know, Bowens and Caster leave the ring, and Jerry Lynn's alone in the ring. And Blake and Lee get in the ring to attack Jerry Lynn 2-on-1, okay? This is your setup. What happens?
You're asking me?
Yeah.
I would assume, to clarify,
They're both out. They're both outside. The Acclaim's outside.
The Acclaim are outside.
Jerry's
the
in the ring.
The other three are in the ring.
These two attack Jerry.
Okay. I would assume you have Bowens and Caster exchange glances. They look at each other, maybe look at the fans one time, and they hit the ring clean house.
So what happens is they attack Jerry, and Jerry makes his own comeback, tears his shirt off, fucking runs wild one-on-two on these guys, and then finally he gets beaten down, okay?
This, by the way, is making this whole third hour of Dynamite even worse, but go ahead.
Max Caster then hits the ring to make the save, okay?
Not needed.
All right. But they beat him down as well, okay? So Bowens is, he's about to leave up the aisle, but he looks at the ring, and he looks back, and he looks at the Emperor with the lightning bolts coming out of his fingers, and he looks back, and then he goes, ah! And he turns, and he starts racing to the ring. At this point, the crowd's like, yeah! He's running to the ring. I swear to God, he fucking slides into the ring, and Blake Christian starts beating his ass. And he kicks him, and he's beating him down in the corner. I'm like, why is this so fucking hard? And they beat this guy down, and then finally the ring gets cleared. How? Jerry Lynn fucking fires up and he sends the heels packing. Jerry Lynn! So then...
This sounds wretched.
The former Acclaim get to their feet. Jerry raises their hands together in victory like they're a team again, but they pull their hands down and they walk off. I was like, oh my God. Listen, the Acclaim need to get back together. Neither of them are getting over to any degree in their current like gimmicks. They need to get back together again. There is a way to do it. I quizzed you and you had it perfect. And they did the most preposterous. You couldn't have done it worse. I don't think there was any way you could have done it worse than what they did. So by the time it was over, I was like, oh my God. This is how you're putting the Acclaim back together. They're getting back together after being failures. You told the world they're failures. You told the world they sucked. We saw that they sucked multiple times on the show. The only guy that was any good was Jerry Lynn. And once they get back together, their first feud is going to be with Blake Christian and Lee Moriarty?
Johnson.
Lee Johnson? Whichever Lee?
Yeah.
God damn. So anyway, that sucked.
So there was a 15-second recap video on Dynamite.
And you didn't know what happened.
I was left baffled and confused.
Oh, yeah.
And now I understand why.
No clue.
I understand why I was confused, because it was confusing in full time, let alone in 15 seconds.
Yeah, they had a recap of the Ring of Honor pay-per-view the night after on Collision a couple of weeks ago. And they recapped something from the Ring of Honor pay-per-view. I watched that recap four times. And I was like, I have no idea what happened. I have no earthly idea what happened. I had to go find the Ring of Honor report to try to piece together what I watched in the video package. Anyway.
So the Death Riders do a promo. They call out the Ops. And the Ops answer, wearing their Trios titles. I think, hey, great. A Trios titles match for the Big Show. Awesome. I was wrong. They're not doing a Trios titles match. They're taking the same six people and doing a tag match with nothing on the line, and also a singles match with nothing on the line.
Yes.
Why?
Because the other match is later. I don't know.
God. These are why the shows are too long, by the way. So the last tag team qualifier for the four-way at the Big Show, Hechicero and Josh Alexander versus Top Flight. The good news is the crowd was more in a Top Flight, or to specifically Dante's acrobatics and anything else in the third hour. Man, Top Flight and Josh Alexander tried a bunch of stuff, and like half of it went wrong. So,
but they kept trying.
They barreled on through, man. Hechicero returns, and there's double teaming dudes for minutes on end. And finally, Darius is elbowed out of the sky, and Josh pushes Dante off the top. Hechicero pins him with a head scissors driver. So, despite Hangman's warning, in the end, the Don Callis family won clean here.
Yes.
Now, that was a post match beating. Boy, howdy, was there a post match beating. It went on a long-ass time. Callis family attacks. Daniels is isolated. Scorpio arrives. Scorpio Sky. Jet Speed tries to help. The Bucks are out there. Bodito's out
there. Scorpio Sky was out there?
Yeah. I assume.
I guess.
Yeah.
I don't remember seeing him at all.
Scorpio Sky was brought in with Rocky Romero. And it's like, well, they may as well be the same
okay.
person. Yeah. So there's a bunch of dudes out there. And
long story short, Hangman comes out to save Daniels
yeah.
because he likes Daniels, even though he ended his career violently. And he goes for the buckshot. Kyle clobbers him with the title. And then Fletcher, this is another one. 3 days before the fucking pay-per-view, they let Kyle Fletcher the brain buster
off the apron through a table.
Off the apron through a table.
The one that shredded his back last time.
Oh my God.
He was wearing a suit this week.
I cannot believe they allowed that one, yeah, but he did.
It took a long way to get there. He was trying to like, well, he warned Hangman would be done. So Hangman looks dumb.
He did warn him, but Hangman came out. So.
But hey, it's an AEW show. You know what that means, Brian? It's got to end with heat.
Oh, it ended with heat.
Every single show, someone must be laid out bloody.
Yeah.
I did not like that third hour. Not one bit.
I thought it was fine, but it was not. It was certainly not as good as the first 2 hours. It was all downhill after the end of the second hour. But yeah, that was the show. Saturday, it's got Hangman Page versus Kyle Fletcher, Christian and Copeland versus FTR, the Mercedes Moné Riho match for the TBS title, Okada versus Takeshita and Dorada for the unified title in a 3-way, Brodito against the Young Bucks, Jet Speed, Alexander and Hechicero in a 4-way for the tag titles. Hurt Syndicate versus Ricochet in the Gates of
Agony.
This
sounds like a 6-hour show.
Oh, yeah. John Moxley versus Darby. Tony versus Tekla.
You only just now got to the Moxley match.
Yeah, that's a coffin match, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
Tony, Tekla, Jamie, and Chris Statlander 4-way. MJF and Mark Briscoe tables and tacks. And then 3 matches on the pre-show at 11 Pacific, if you want to watch it that early. That's Willow, Mina, Harley, and Aminata versus Julia, Sky, Megan, and Penelope in a tornado match. Garcia versus Shibata, and Joe and Hobbs versus the Work Horseman. That's coming up Saturday. And by the way, before we get to NXT, if you enjoy the show, I urge you to subscribe either on YouTube, if you're watching on YouTube, video.f4wonline.com, Spotify or Apple Podcasts. YouTube, Apple, and Spotify are all $9.99 a month. And get 84 shows every month. Or you can sign up on the main site, f4wonline.com, wrestlingobserver.com, and you get all of the archives, 15,000 shows dating back to 2005. And this weekend, Vinny and I will be up for subscribers immediately after All Out. And then Dave and I will be up later in the evening for All Out and WrestlePalooza. And then Vinny, Craig, and I will be up Sunday night for WrestlePalooza. So 3 big shows, 4 subscribers this coming weekend. So I suggest signing up. It's a lot of fun, and you get a lot of shows. And you get the NXT review every Thursday. So let's do it. I thought this was a pretty good show, too.
It was certainly memorable, that's for sure. We watched WWE NXT Homecoming September 16th, 2025. So they're back at Full Sail University. And we have a pretty goddamn awesome history video to open this thing, including Coheed and Cambria playing the old NXT music. So all the great names from NXT, from literally day one, Seth Rollins, Dusty Rhodes, Paige, Roman Reigns, the Wyatt family, Drew McIntyre, Sami Zayn, Alexa Bliss, The Ascension, the Three Horsewomen, although Sasha Banks was briefly shown in street clothes, Corey Graves, Xavier Woods, Big E, Rusev, Kevin Owens, James Storm, Kairi Sane, Aleister Black, Asuka, Finn Balor, Nakamura, Shayna Baszler, Bobby Roode, Johnny Gargano, Rhea Ripley, The Street Profits, Tommaso Ciampa, Damian Priest, Bianca. There's a lot of big names here. A reminder, they've had a lot of great shows. It reminded me, there was 1 year shortly before the pandemic, it was 2017 or 18 or 19, I forget which one, but one of my favorite years in any promotion I ever saw. I was reminded of those good times here. We have another retro theme. I don't know the band, but it was something else that used to be the NXT theme song.
Thank God they didn't have Wild and Young.
They did not have Wild and Young. No, it was a good show. So,
some of these videos, by the way, I mean, Roman Reigns looked so young.
Well, he was.
Seth looked so young.
He was.
Well, yeah, but then there were other people, like Tyler Breeze.
Looks the same.
He looks exactly the same. Yeah. And Nakamura, like, looks exactly the same. Finn Balor looked younger. But, like, some of the people, it was weird how much they looked exactly the same, whereas others looked absolutely completely different.
Yeah. So Triple H and Shawn and Regal come out to flap their gums and kill a lot of time.
They killed a lot of time just for a goofy segment where they teased that Triple H and Shawn Michaels were going to fight.
Yeah.
And then, when they first, because people have been talking about it before I watched the show, and like there were people texting about, oh my God, is it going to be like a Shawn's team versus Hunter's team in War Games for control or whatever? So I'm watching this segment, and you know, as soon as Regal came out, it was like, okay, this is nothing but a comedy segment just to get some cameos. Because Regal comes out and says, I know how to solve this problem. And the whole crowd goes, War Games! And Regal pauses, and he's like, did you guys have to step on my line? Can we edit that out? War Games! And I was like, okay, this is just wacky.
Yeah.
So that was the opening segment. It was like 12 minutes for this.
Yeah, 15.
15!
Yeah, so there was a point where Hunter claimed that NXT was the best thing on the CW, which is a very depressing thought, but for all I know, maybe true. I don't watch anything else on this show, this channel. So finally, Charlotte and Alexa come out. As always, they have zero chemistry, but they name drop all the women of NXT days of yore, including the four horsewomen. So Charlotte did specify that. Also, Ember Moon was named. Ember, at least. Maybe it's a different Ember that I'm not aware of. Yeah, this thing finally ended. Lyra is here. She embraces her old friend Tatum Paxley, but the Culling wants Tatum to focus.
Yeah, Lyra's there replacing Tiffany, who apparently was concussed, doing her moonsault off the post, and I don't know what she was going to do, but like she landed on her feet and then tried to do a backward roll, but my God, she hit her head on the ground.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's Charlotte and Alexa versus the Culling. As you feared, Brian, we start with a doll off.
Yeah, they started with Alexa and Tatum doing spooky stuff. They were trying to out-spooky each other, and it, like, sucked. But they got it out of their system. And then, like, as they got going, like, they started actually wrestling each other. And the funny thing about Alexa is, like, she's a big horror fan and movie fan, and she just loves doing this shit. But the funny thing is, she's at her absolute best when she's wrestling. Like, when she's throwing strikes, like, she's got good strikes. They're, like, fast and crisp. And her and Tatum, like, they wrestled really well together in this match.
And each match had a small flippy person and a big, strong person. I was going to say a small gymnast, but then I realized Charlotte's a big gymnast. But anyway, so you have the two giants going back and forth, doing the double big boot spot. I had the volume turned up this week, Brian. I got to hear Vic, who told me, in asking a question of Booker T, Sean Spears has motivated the Culling. How has he done that?
By being a babyface.
They are professional athletes. If you need Sean Spears to motivate you, you're not going to last very long. So, the Culling, as always, standing around minding their own business. The other team attacks them. The driver's just hanging out. And Charlotte wipes him out for no reason. Actually, there was some, they cheated here at one point. I forget what it was. There's the most heelish thing they've done in weeks. Oh, Tatum tried to cover with her feet in the ropes.
That's right, yeah.
That was the most evil thing they've done in a long time. There is utter chaos. Alexa dodges a 450 or something and hits a Sister Abigail DDT that's even more awkward than usual.
Well, yeah, because like she set it up, but then she didn't like how it was, so she had to first move the other
hand. I mean, it never looks good.
Then she had to move her face. Yeah. I was like, oh my God, just fall down.
It never looks good, but this looks worse than most. So things fell apart a little bit at the end there. In the whole, this was a pretty good TV match.
The thing with the Sister Abigail is the actual Sister Abigail, it's just like you catch him in the middle of movement, bend him over your knee, and then you just like go back. But Alexa's version, it's like you got to bend him over the knee.
It doesn't make sense.
But then you have to put your arm like in this really weird position around their neck. And like it just kills the momentum of what is supposed to be like a big out of nowhere surprise move. So I don't know why she does that. Just do a Sister Abigail. It looks better, and it's more effective.
Yeah. Zarya is bitching at Sol Ruka for snatching her soul last week.
They waited a week to talk about this?
They always do. Sol asked what I thought was a very good question. Do you expect me to stop mid-flip? I laughed at that. So Lainey Reed is there trying to intervene. Candace is there to talk mess with Lainey Reed. Shayna Baszler returns!
Yeah. Two people on this show, not under contract. And yes. We're on the program. It's very interesting.
Shayna steps in. And not Barry, because Shayna stepped in. Everyone scatters.
Yeah.
She's a scary person. She tells Zarya and Sol. She starts to tell them they got to fix this. Stops. Has clearly, completely forgotten her lines. Tells them to apologize and fix it. I laughed. Trick Williams and Carmelo Hayes versus DIY. This is the first point of the show, but certainly not the last. When Vic is bringing up how the TNA wrestlers are all bitching on social media about Trick Williams being on the show, and there's more news to come on that front. Ciampa and Gargano come out to their NXT themes. I don't remember Ciampa wearing face paint before. Maybe he did.
He just did it here because it was the old black and gold.
I see. So they're having a pretty fun match.
This match was so weird because Trick is a heel, Carmelo is a heel, DIY are heels, but on this particular show, they all were baby faces.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is true. So they're talking about the drama between Ciampa and Gargano, which is a nice way to describe, you know, violent warfare and all that. But Vic Joseph, a philosopher, Brian, offers this sage nugget. Maturity is a high price to pay for growing up. What? What the fuck does that mean? Why are you on television? God! Trick and Mello are running wild. They have a big hug. They tease the Trick's going to turn on Mello, but they're still working together. Trick uses a belt as a distraction for nothing. He grabs the belt. The referee takes it away. The referee turns his back. He just keep on wrestling. He didn't miss a pin. Nobody cheated. I don't know why they did that. Carmelo takes a bullet, pushes Trick out of the way from Meet Me in the Middle. He's fighting 2-on-1, but he gets shatter machined. He is met in the middle. Trick saves him. Miz shows up.
God damn, they gave him such a big ovation. It's like, God, this guy, he's a legend.
He hits the skull-crushing finale on Gargano. They throw him in, and Mello hits nothing but net and pins him. I totally forgot that Miz and Mello are a thing, but they are.
Yeah.
It was a fun little sprint of a match.
It's actually an ongoing storyline on SmackDown where, like, Carmelo wants to go off as a singles competitor, but Miz keeps signing him a tag matches, which he doesn't want. Yeah, it's quite the deal.
Yeah.
This was a very good match.
It was not the best NXT tag match ever, or whatever they promised.
No, but it was fun.
It was a fun TV match.
They didn't say it was the best. They said it was going to be the biggest.
Biggest, excuse me.
Which you would think would mean it would be the last match.
The main event.
It wasn't. God damn this next segment.
Kelly McKincaid interviews Sami Zayn.
God.
He's nostalgic about being back. Who stands out to you? She asked him on the current NXT roster. He says, a young man who reminds me a lot of myself named Javon Evans. So Josh Briggs has gotten due. He's jealous.
So was I.
Evans is a kid. He's a nothing. He's a bum. So granted, Josh Briggs is being rude, but Javon Evans is the one who throws the first punch. And basically through himself. He launched himself through the sky to get to Briggs. They're having this brawl. Security pulls Briggs away. The victim. They pull the victim away. Javon just stands there, talks to Sami for a while. Sami says they got a lot in common. For guys like us, it never comes easy, but he holds up the U.S. title. But the sky is the limit.
Oh, it is? God.
I've seen Javon jump. I'm not sure.
18 months, dude.
I'm not sure.
18 months.
I've seen Javon jump. I'm not sure the sky can contain him.
He hasn't even won the North American title. He hasn't won a tag title. He just loses all the time. God. He had Sami out there pushing this guy as an underdog. I'm like, Sami's only won about 77 titles. God. Anyway.
Tyler Breeze versus Ethan Paisley, North American title.
It's a goddamn good match.
A recap of Ethan failing in the four-way Worlds Collide. He was not pinned, but he didn't win. And Hijo del Dr. Wagner Jr.'s in attendance. I decided that name is too long. I'm going to shorten that to HDDWJR. Rolls off the tongue.
Just call him Dr. Wagner 3, which is probably going to be his new name.
That's not working. So they're fighting for a while. Yes, Tyler Breeze, he's only 37. He looked great here. Looked like he had not missed a day. Had a very good match. And for a guy who's probably very happy to just do seminars and meet and greets and conventions and stuff, probably got himself a lot of new bookings for this.
Hey, yeah. I mean, I talked about this last week. This guy is great with his money.
Yeah.
And he invested it all. And apparently he's just rich.
Yeah.
So he just does whatever the fuck he wants.
This is probably the big winner of the entire night, honestly.
And one of the things that being rich apparently will give you is the ability to just go to the gym, have no stress, and not age.
Yeah.
He looked exactly the same.
Yeah, being rich seems great.
He worked exactly the same.
Yeah.
And he had a good match, and I was very impressed. When this was over, I was like, why isn't this guy working here?
So they're going back and forth near the end, doing the near falls, and Tyler scores the beauty shot. Vic Joseph has absolutely no idea that's the man's finish. Zero preparation.
Actually, I think it was Booker that didn't know. Booker seemed to have no idea about this guy. He's like, he's never won a title. What does that say about this guy? Like, Booker, do you have to bury the guy? God.
Neither knew it was his finish. Ethan, he goes up top, but Ethan pulls him down with a twisted grin and gets the win. And yeah, Tyler lost this match, but he won the night. Great showing. Damian Priest gives Tavion Heights a pep talk. This is one where you're like, Who are the main roster guys we can get to come down here? Who used to be in NXT? Okay, we got Damian. Who can we match him up with?
Why, Tavion Height.
Tavion's here. We'll put them together. So Damian does reminisce about his peak in NXT, that time he won a big championship match and then promptly got into a hot tub with hot ladies.
Yeah.
Which had happened.
It's one of his favorite memories of his career.
I would be mine too. And he announces it's Tavion Height versus Ethan Page, No Mercy.
I love how, like, Tavion's all, he can't believe his ears and he's all excited. It's like, bro, you beat the guy in a flag match last week. This is simple booking.
You should get this match.
Yeah, someone smart.
You should have pissed
out.
Off. It took you another week. Grayson Waller hosts the Grayson Waller Effect.
They have Ricky and Oba out there.
Just standing there.
Well, they're standing there, and this Grayson is like doing his whole spiel, and man, these guys look like they're heading to the gallows. They are so fucking miserable to be a part of this. And then this idiot's like, is it Ricky Soft or Oba Rated?
Oh, is that what he said?
Oh, okay. My God. And then, like, Oba's so great because he just nonchalantly is like, I'm going to humor this idiot tonight. And then he does his promo. He's not bothered at all. This guy's fucking great.
Oba?
Oba Femi.
Actually, both guys were pretty great here.
Yes.
Ricky was even greater on this night.
He goes, I eat, sleep, and breathe this title. But Ricky, ever since you got here, all you worry about is when you're going to get called up to carry Cody Rhodes' bags.
Yes.
Ricky kind of looks at him and is like, eh.
I would. But he got to his feet and cut a great promo. You are a soft, scouted, sponsored, pampered athlete. 8 years ago, I spent 3 days killing myself in this building just to get an automated email rejection. But a delay is not a denial. I will always gamble on myself. And he worked his way to get back here. Vows to win this title at No Mercy. But then Trick Williams interrupts. He says he wants his NXT title back. Tells Ricky, mind your business while grown folks is talking. Just buries him. Grayson then proposes.
Oh, my God.
And says he will need to check with Ava and also check with Santino. But I think we should do Oba Femi versus Trick Williams next week, title versus title. And the winner of that can then defend their title against Ricky Saints, No Mercy.
When he said this, I went,
what?
What? After we're going to unify the TNA and NXT titles based on Grayson Waller coming up with an idea on the Grayson Waller Effect. And like at first, I was just flabbergasted. And then, like, as soon as this segment is over, the announcers are already starting to talk about, oh man, we're hearing from the NXT or the TNA crew. They are not happy. And they start putting up tweets from Santana and tweets from Moose. And then, like, by the end of the show, half the TNA roster has put up all of these tweets about how upset they are about all of this. And then, like, I don't know if you saw this. Did you see the segment at the end with Regal and Ava?
It started. I not see how
it ended.
Yeah.
I don't know how, but Dave saw the entire thing. It cut off for me, too, because they went long. But basically, at the end of the show, Regal's meeting with Ava, and he basically says, have you seen all this stuff online from TNA? It's going to be a difficult show next week. So they pretty much, they're doing what they did, like CM Punk and AEW and then AJ with WWE. They're telling you TNA is invading next week.
Yeah.
And like, we ain't getting a finish in this match. It's going to be a wild schmod.
I certainly hope that's the case.
And there's no way there's a finish.
Because
they didn't have TNA book the Trick Williams Santana match for Bound for
six
Glory.
Months. Yes.
Yeah.
The biggest show of the year.
No way they're unifying the titles.
That makes
no sense.
As the resident TNA observer, the fact that Santana's already failed twice and now may not even get his chance to win at the end.
No. 100% Santana's beaten Trick at Bound for Glory. And, I mean, I suppose Trick could walk in with both belts, but I don't think that's happening. Yeah. I'm pretty sure they're just doing a schmoz.
I hope you're right, but if it does go that way, LOL TNA for having Santana challenge twice already and still not win.
There's no way, Vinny. Don't be a mark.
So They all run their mouths a little bit, and Oba vows to beat Trick next week, and then he'll beat Ricky, send him home in disgrace. And I thought Ricky got a great promo here. Everyone else was very good. Ren Sinclair and Charlie Dempsey are still a unit, and frankly, I don't know why. There's only two of them. They're not recruiting anybody. She has a bunch of ideas, but he needs to go to Japan for a month, come back a new man. Bobby Roode then interrupts, and he steps in, and they do the close-up and the pause, as he tilts his head to listen to the crowd response. When I tell you there was zero crowd response.
Well, it's because they turned off the crowd.
Well, I heard him later in the same segment.
I know. I think they figured it out when he shows up, and like I think the crowd all yelled glorious because you can see him look around and hear it. And I think whoever was in the truck was like, oh shit, the audio's off.
Well, I hope that's the case.
So it was like the most awkward moment. And then they immediately turned it up.
Yes.
So you could hear when Joe Hendry showed up.
Well, they all did the glorious thing. And then somebody mentioned Joe Hendry and Joe appeared. Rude congratulates Joe for being TNA champion of Mania. Tells him you need to win that NXT title next. I'll be cheering for you. So they leave. And Dempsey tells Ren, don't do anything stupid. Don't do anything I wouldn't do while I'm gone. So she's going to ruin everything. Alexis King is in the ring for a promo.
The fuck is there for her to ruin?
I don't know.
All right.
He buries the Black and Gold era. Says those wrestlers were overrated. They don't care about the fans. There's a target on my back. That's why Miles Bourne attacked him. So Ava has booked a lights out match for the two of us next week. The lights go out, but it's Finn Balor instead of Miles Bourne. If you haven't watched this, if you're going to watch this part, and it you can't see much because it's dark, but there's like spotlights and flashes. Watch Lexus King's crash out when he realizes it's AJ, it's Finn Balor, and when I say AJ, it's Finn Balor and not Miles Bourne. It's an epic, epic tantrum. But Finn's just there to distract so Miles can jump Lexus from behind. And he does finally hit a coup de grace. Like, absolutely no fun. Just kill the guy. So next week, the two matches announced are Obafemi versus Trick Williams.
Let's not gloss over the fact that Finn Balor is a heel on Raw in the Judgment Day, and he came out here as a total babyface.
Yeah.
The old music, the old performance.
The good music.
I mean, this fucking place went wild. Yeah. And he came off as such a gigantic star on this show, whereas on Raw, he's just like another fella. And it wasn't the only time on this show that like they either showed a clip or they used an old song or whatever. But it was like, God damn. The music today is so horrible.
It really is.
I mean, we always talk about how bad it is, and then everyone always brings up like, oh man, remember Jim Johnson and all his great themes from like the 80s and 90s? How about just the themes from like 7 years ago were like 1,000 times better than the themes today?
Yep.
And yeah, he stuck the landing on this bloke.
Finn's music and Gargano's music and Ciampa's music, probably more. Kelly Kincaid interviews Dark State. They had another run-in with Joe, but they won't let anyone say his name, lest he appear. Montez Ford appears instead. He says that you guys are all together. I wish I knew how that felt. But worry about that target on your backs. And he leaves, and Buttman is going to say something about butts, but they stop him.
He's
going to
say something about a target on the back.
Ah, great.
And they grabbed him, and they dragged him off. So he hasn't dropped the gimmick. He's still an idiot butt lover. That's his gimmick.
I'll let that one float out there for a while.
That's his gimmick.
Yeah. Fatal Influence versus Stephanie Vaquer and Lyra Valkyria. And Rhea Ripley. And Vic is again ranting about all this stuff on social media. Booker's sickened. Sickened. Social media. Stay off the internet. Do me that one thing. If Buddy were alive today, he'd still be saying the internet was a fad.
You know who's on the internet more than anybody? It was that fucker.
He was online constantly.
Yes.
Bianca was shown in the crowd. That's all she got.
Yeah.
Also in attendance, Bianca Belair. All right. There's a weird Fatal Influence double team where they did a double squat of Lyra Valkyria. Like, am I supposed to be impressed by this? It took two of you to lift this 110-pound woman, a bird, at that?
Yeah, think about how light her bones must
be. They're hollow. So we get bitching tweets from Moose and Mustafa Ali and Matt Hardy on the screen. Steph gets a hot tag, run wild. She's cut off for like 3 seconds to set up Rhea Ripley's hot tag. I went back and timed this. Rhea Ripley and Stephanie Vaquer, with help from the other four women involved, nearly 40 seconds setting up, teasing, delaying, teasing more, and finally delivering a double face humper spot. That's pretty epic.
Actually, They set it up. The place is going wild. They're all expecting it to happen. And then suddenly, like, Jasmine runs in, and Lyra has to dropkick her outside and do a spot. And it totally killed everyone's excitement for the Devil's Kiss. And so they had to try to fire everybody back up again to do it. And I was like, man, I can't believe he came up with that spot. Like, you built him to a crescendo and then took him down with some other random spot. Then you had to build him up again. It was weird.
So JC tries to flee, but Lola Vice blocks her exit and hits her with a back fist. And Rhea pins her with Riptide.
Bro, thank God there's one more show before the PLE. Because Lola Vice coming out here and being the reason for JC to get pinned by Rhea, I was like, oh my God, I was right. They're going to build her up big. They're going to do these awesome video packages. It's going to be in her hometown of Miami, basically. They're going to fucking beat her. Now, there is one more show, so maybe she'll get beat down and then everything will be all right. But I got no faith. I got no faith.
Nor should you.
Sammy's going to be showing up in a year telling Lola, people like us, one of these days it's going to work out for you, kid.
So they all celebrate together. We cut to Oba and Trick in Ava's office, and Regal is there, and the Brain Trust is there, and I think Regal started something about TNA, and then it just ended. That's all I got.
Yeah, it was a rare production gaffe. I mean, they don't got an overrun. They can't. There's news.
Yep.
So they went too long, and that was that. So what the hell can you do? And actually, they went a minute over, and then they still were going long. So that was that. I thought, man, it was a very newsworthy show.
Bruce Pritchard's going to tear into Abyss about this.
Probably will. Poor Abyss. Hey, you know, when we watch these TNA shows, we're going to see lots of Abyss.
We will see lots of Abyss.
Yeah, if we watch long enough, we'll see the Park return. Whatever his name was.
Chris Park. Yeah. Of Park, Park, and Park.
Yeah, Park, Park, and Park. I wonder if LA Park was the other park.
I don't know.
Hmm.
It might have been.
Interesting. Anyway, we got to wrap it up, everybody, but I want to thank everybody who listened along for free. However you're listening, you can sign up that way. Front page of WrestlingObserver.com, you can sign up there and get 15,000 podcasts, plus the Observer and everything else, the board. If you're watching on YouTube, you can sign up on YouTube and watch all of the shows. And with a subscription, you can watch them live or the replays. This show is always 8 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 11 Eastern, Tuesday, Thursday, and usually Sunday. Although, yeah, Sunday this weekend as well. But Vinny and I will be doing a bonus show on Saturday. And Apple Podcasts and Spotify. You can also sign up there. F4WOnline.com/Apple. F4WOnline.com/Spotify will take you there. And you can listen to all of the shows. YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts, all just $9.99. So sign up, everybody. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow on Observer Live with Lance Storm for Fun Friday. And then Vinny and I up this weekend, immediately after All Out, with a post show. So check it out. And that's it, everybody. We'll talk to you again after a while.
Adios.